Filling jobs usually means resumes, interviews, and salary offers, but it's a very different story in the body of Christ. God has called each believer to a task in His kingdom, and the book of Acts shows us how He makes His calling known. Today, meet God's personnel department for your local church. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Turn with us to Acts chapter 6. Erwin Lutzer is teaching us that when God is first, He owns our status, calling people from among each congregation to get His work done.
Everyone had a part in the body. Everyone had a place that they would fit. And what God was saying is that as my body grows and as it increases, it is subject to the head, and I keep increasing it in such a way that it can continue to increase. And therefore, look out for yourselves, because what you need to do is to realize that I have already placed my hand on people in your congregation among you who are going to be able to take over these responsibilities. Listen up. Listen up, everyone who works in the kitchen at Moody Church, okay? And ushers and car parkers and greeters and people who clean this building. Listen up. God says, from within you, I'm raising up leadership. Now let's talk about Moody Church for a moment. God has given us many fine ministries. But we as a staff spend an awful lot of time talking about the fact that we do not have enough people to fill in the gaps and to minister. Yes, we've heard about Cabrini Green and how we thank God for that ministry, and we do need other churches to help us there. But we also have children's ministries right here, and some of our children's ministries are languishing because there are not enough people to fill in the gaps. Could it be that God, who raises up ministries, also raises up leadership for those ministries, but there's somebody sitting in the balcony today, somewhere, that is supposed to be involved, but isn't? You'll notice in your bulletin today, we have a, I want to call it purple, but I think it's lavender insert. Read through this list of opportunities for ministry involvement at Moody Church. Don't do it now, would you? I want you to make sure that you have it now and put it in your Bible. And it'll tell you what kind of needs we have here at the Moody Church and how you can help us. And could I simply say, we need your help. Read my lips. We need your help. And if you're not sure whether or not you can do the job, check with somebody. Maybe they can help you. But there are ministries that people need to be doing. I cannot believe that God would raise up these ministries, and children's ministry is only one among many, as you can see. God isn't going to raise these up and not provide leadership among us. Somebody is shirking his or her duty. I really deeply believe that. The first requirement is, look among you and see whom God has called and gifted. They're there. Now we have a large congregation. We need your help to be identified and to be helped in the ministry. There's a second qualification, and that is, you'll notice, proven character. Now this isn't as clear in the NIV, my translation that I'm using today, as it should be. But you'll notice it says, they said, those among you who are known. The Greek text actually says this, who are witnessed to or attested to. That's a better way to translate it. What they're saying there is people of proven character. Choose someone whom you know who has been faithful in some task, somebody whose character is beyond reproach, and put them into positions of responsibility. And God is going to bless your work, because Integrity is what we as a church sell. Integrity, especially today, it's always been important, but especially today, is so incredibly important. So look among you and find people of character and find someone who can attest to this individual and put them in charge. I was thinking about this yesterday morning as I was working on this message and thinking, you know, before we have someone who is a deacon or an elder, we should not only ask their colleagues, which we often do, to see whether or not they are of attested character, but we should really check with their wives. And ask the wife and say, now, you know, you live with this guy, and could you tell me, please, whether or not you think, would you attest to his character? Because she knows what's going on in the home. And God knows what's going on in the home. But he's not telling. Maybe she will. Folks, this is important. I was thinking this morning as I was listening to the news, and I just saw a news flash very quickly that the Episcopal Church, I believe, is in the process. This message is being preached at a time when they are in the process of ordaining an openly gay minister. Now, I thought to myself, what's the key word here? Openly? If it were secret, would it be okay? But it's openly that's the problem? My dear friend, D.L. Moody said that character is what we are in the dark. Amen. Attested character. Dependable. Faithful. That's the second requirement. To wait on tables. Let's go on to a third. I love this third. You'll notice it says, full of the Spirit. Amen. Oh, my friend, today, doesn't this blow a hole right through that notion that the filling of the Spirit is for spiritual people like pastors and missionaries and other people who go to heaven every evening and return again in the morning? It's for people like that, but it's not for the ordinary person who works at a Ford Motor Company or who works in a sawmill, or who works in a bank, or an office, or a hospital. It's not for those kinds of people, and it's not for those, you know, who are ushers. Oh, no. Not for those who park cars, or greet people. I want you to know that the filling of the blessed Holy Spirit is for every believer, and it is a requirement for those who serve in the church. No matter what their responsibility is within the church. You say, why is it necessary? I don't have to be filled with the Holy Spirit to do some of these things. By the way, I should pause and tell you that I have often been deeply convicted by the words of George MacDonald, who said this: whatever a man does without God, in that he must either fail miserably or succeed even more miserably. See, one of our problems is we can do these things in the energy of the flesh. But there's no substitute for the work that Jesus Christ wants to do in our hearts. And remember that one of the purposes of the church is to make the invisible God visible to everyone who comes. When people come to Moody Church, what should they say based on 1 Corinthians? Surely God is in that place. And that's why we need Spirit-filled ushers and Spirit-filled parkers and Spirit-filled people who work at camp and Spirit-filled people who work in our kitchens. Because apart from Jesus, he said, we can do nothing. Nothing. Do I have a witness or am I all alone up here? I've been deeply convicted this past week reading a book by Jim Cimbala on the power of the Spirit. I'd read parts of it before, but it is speaking to my heart, and I have determined that in my own life and ministry, the thing that I need more of is to seek the filling of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, aren't you filled with the Spirit? Yeah, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. But interestingly, in the New Testament, it says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Then it says again, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and filled. Why? It's a continuous experience. And I testify with D.L. Moody that I leak. You know, you say, well, we don't have to seek the Spirit's fullness. We have the Spirit indwelling within us. Yes, that's a blessed truth. It's just like saying that when we are saved, we have found Jesus as our Savior. More accurately, of course, He has found us, but we've connected with Jesus, and yet we seek Him out. And we constantly keep saying, God, we need more, we need more. We need to enter into the fullness of the blessed Holy Spirit. And that is for every single believer. Every believer. There's a fourth requirement, and that is there to be filled with wisdom. Filled with wisdom. I mean, just sanctified common sense and Spirit-led direction. I've been in the ministry long enough to work with a variety of different people, the best people I've ever worked with in my life, by the way, I'm working with right now, marvelous pastoral staff, elders, leadership of the church, praise God. But sometimes we put people in positions of responsibility who shouldn't be there. And we may do it because we kind of like them, we'd want to hurt their feelings and everything like that, but they're in a position of responsibility for which they are not qualified. And I'm not talking about giftedness, I'm talking about character, I'm talking about being filled with the Spirit, and just having sanctified common sense, or what we could call wisdom. The Bible says that there is a wisdom that is from the earth, it is earthly. I'm amazed at the number of Christians who raise their children based solely on human wisdom. And we have the great danger. We have the great danger of accepting human wisdom and thinking that it's wise when there is divine wisdom.
Well, I don't have the passage before me here, but I do know that in the book of James there is a contrast between the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of God. This is Pastor Lutzer. And I also know that the contrast highlights the fact that the wisdom of this world is from this world. It's the best people can do, and sometimes that wisdom may have great insights, but what the wisdom lacks is divine perspective. And that's why, as I mentioned, there are many people who raise their children with worldly wisdom. There are many people who run their businesses with worldly wisdom. There are many people who respond with worldly wisdom, and what we need to do is to seek God. Now, here's a promise for you. It says in the book of James, chapter 1, James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and does not upbraid, and it shall be given him. I don't know how often I've claimed that verse. Sometimes when I'm having a telephone conversation with someone, I say to myself, I don't know what to say right now. God, I rely on the fact that I'm calling out to you in my heart for wisdom. And God will give me something to say, and I look back and I marvel at the wisdom that God gave me. So if you, my friend, today are lacking wisdom in making decisions, in knowing how to rear your family, in knowing the responsibilities that you are undertaking at the church, whatever, seek God. Because one of the requirements to be used mightily by God, as we notice from this passage, is to be filled with wisdom, and the Holy Spirit is here to help us.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer has given us part two of He Owns Our Status, the sixth message in his series, When God Is First, taken from the book of Acts. Tomorrow, more about how God calls His people for kingdom duties. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church. All eight messages in this series can be yours on CD, cassette, or MP3. For full information, call toll-free 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about When God Is First. Encourage us by writing to Dr. Lutzer at Running to Win, 1609 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Visit our website at runningtowin.org. Don't forget, Running to Win is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.